Hello, welcome once again to Nuka Girl Says Drink Nuka Cola, a Fallout podcast about the TV show Fallout on Amazon Prime. I am one of your co-hosts, Philip, from the state of New Hampshire in the US of A, and with me in the state of New York.
Hi, this is Mike.
Mike, how are you?
I'm fine, Phil. How are you?
Doing all right. And in the Commonwealth of Virginia?
Hey, this is Barrett.
Barrett, how are you?
I'm good, and I already know how you're doing, because Mike asked.
Indeed. And in the state of Missouri?
Good evening. This is Kevin.
Kevin, how are you?
Oh, a little tired and just glad that a tornado didn't rip through our neighborhood, but yeah, doing well.
Indeed. And in the Canadian province of Alberta, Canada?
Hey, everyone, it's Sean. I hope you're doing well and glad you're okay there, Kevin.
Indeed. All right, so who are we? Well, basically, we are the podcast that talks about each episode of the Fallout television series on Amazon Plus. The television series was dropped all at once on April 10th, 2024. However, we are recording an episode per week as we watch weekly one episode until we get to the season finale. The first episode, well, either way, we've done three episodes, and this is the fourth that we're going to do. What time and day is this? Today is May 7th, 2024, 9 p.m. on Eastern Standard Time that we're recording this. Because some of our listeners are always curious when we record our podcasts, such as Pam. But we are actually going to release this podcast immediately because it is timely and we're doing the television series. And we're hoping to have this out on May 9th. And then we plan to record episode 5 on May 13th. May 14th. Let's see, what else? We have a website called darkdiscussions.com, which is the website for this podcast, as well as all the other podcasts that you hear your co-hosts tonight participate in. The original podcast is called the Dark Discussions Podcast, which is a weekly podcast about genre films. This is a podcast that will go on hiatus when we finish up the season. We do have an email, darkdiscussions@aol.com, that you can email us. Just put in Fallout in the subject, and then whatever else you want to talk about, and we will read your email on the podcast. Also, we have some other stuff on the website. What is that, Sean?
That is the link to Patreon, which is a way that people can financially support their favorite creators. So click on the link, it'll take you to Patreon, and you can then, if you have the financial wherewithal, make a contribution to us each month. Every $5 that you are able to donate each month to us means that you can actually pick a movie that will go into a draw every quarter. And if it is picked at the quarter, then it will go to be done as a review on either the main feed for Dark Discussions or one of the sister podcasts, depending on when it falls genre-wise. If you don't have the financial wherewithal to support us, even a dollar a month does help because the podcast itself is released free across all these different podcast providers, but there's a ton of expenses behind the scenes that Phil usually takes care of or does always take care of. So even a dollar a month can help us a huge amount. But again, if you're not able to financially, knowing these times that we're all dealing with, you can still help us by supporting us by sharing the podcast and information through social media, getting word of mouth out about us, and just your continued downloads and all your support is appreciated, whatever form it is you're able to give it to us, because you doing this gives us the opportunity to keep doing this, so thank you for that.
Yes, and another way you can also support us is write a review for our podcast, wherever you listen to podcasts, such as Apple Podcasts and so forth. You can find this podcast a number of places, obviously at darkdiscussions.com. You can listen to the podcast right off that website. But you also can find it at any place podcasts are found, on two different feeds. The first feed is Nuka Grill Says Drink Nuka Cola podcast, and then the other is Dark Discussions podcast. The Dark Discussions podcast includes this podcast as well as all the other podcasts that your co-hosts you hear tonight participate in, while Nuka Grill Says Drink Nuka Cola podcast is the podcast only for this podcast specifically. So that's pretty much our
really with all the listeners that I know we do have to this and other podcasts. If you did just donate $1 a month, it doesn't seem like much, but that would pretty much cover the costs for the podcast for the year, or the given the viewership that, or listenership that we do have. And then that means that Phil wouldn't have to sell women to supermarkets for body parts in order to keep this going.
We'll take gold doubloons. We'll take gold doubloons too,
or bottle caps.
Yes, we'll be talking about harvest
or
organs,
teeth
tonight.
Yeah, or harvest organs.
But either way, we do have a Facebook group called Dark Discussions Podcast Facebook group where you can join in the conversation about anything genre related, whether it's Fallout or anything else. And yeah, that's pretty much our house cleaning. What we do here on this podcast here is we spoil everything, talk about everything, because again, this is a after show podcast. So we're assuming that everybody who is listening to this podcast is a fan of the show or is a hater of the show, but loves to watch it anyway. And, so we're here to, give a perspective on each episode. So we will, spoil. But we figured you already knew that. All right, so let's get around and discuss the new episode 4 that we're talking about, which is called The Ghouls. It's the first episode that Jonathan Nolan has not directed, and Genevieve Robertson-Dwarrett and Graham Wagner have not written. So this is directed by Daniel Gray Longino and written by Karen Fitzgerald. And yeah, so that's the stuff behind the scenes. So I guess we can get into our feelings on this episode tonight. So let's start with you, Kevin Letts.
Yes. Quite frankly, I think so far this has been my favorite episode. I really enjoyed this one. I mean, I it's a great series so far, but this particular episode is the one that I've really enjoyed the most.
Is that it, Kevin?
Yes, that's it.
Oh, okay. All right, let's go with you, Barrett.
I didn't want to go. We'll go into detail later.
Yeah, I agree. This was a really good episode. I honestly, they're all just equally good for me. They all have a little bit different tone to them so far, which I really like. This one was a little more focused, I think, than the other episodes, and that maybe that's what Kevin really liked about it. But it was definitely a solid episode that I really, really enjoyed.
All right. Sounds good. Let's go with you, Mike.
Yeah, it's another good episode. I have a little trouble sometimes distinguishing between them because we kind of ran ahead with my wife, but I did rewatch this. I had to break it up into two parts. Am I correct in that they didn't really do anything with Titus and Maximus?
Yeah, there was nothing.
They weren't in there at all.
This was not in this episode.
Okay, so I was right about that. All right. Yeah, there's some good stuff there. I think there's some nice stuff that they don't necessarily spell out to you. Particularly the last shot, but it rewards those who are, you know, paying attention to the story. Again, I'll say that they focus on predominantly on Lucy and Norm. And again, their stories move forward and move forward significantly, I think. There's revelations to be had. And of course, I'm sorry, Norm and the ghoul, they focus on the ghoul. And even he has a revelatory moment, towards the end. But you get some monster action, you get some comedy, you get some body parts flying. It's good. It's just it's fleshing out the world, and once again, it gives you some characters that are probably one shot characters you'll never see again. Because spoiler warning, they die. But they're memorable, and they're enjoyable, and that is again a hallmark of the video game series too. So yeah, I've enjoyed it. I enjoyed it quite a bit. And if I remember correctly, this is one of I know there's only 8 episodes, but this was one of the 3 highest, according to, I don't remember, it was something I saw, I don't remember, it was IMDb or Metacritic or something, or Rotten Tomatoes. This is one of the three highest rated episodes by fans of the series, which more or less means it's in the top half, for whatever that's worth.
Yep, indeed. All right. Yeah, for me, yeah, I think it is the best episode after the first episode. It was the first episode that we got to see the Mr. Handy robot. For folks who are familiar with the video games, they'll know Mr. Handy. He plays a big role in Fallout 4 as Codsworth. It's another interesting aspect. The one thing that I think they changed, because this is not in any of the games to my knowledge, is that the ghouls need drugs to not deteriorate and become feral. In the game, some are just more susceptible than others to become feral. It has nothing to do with the drugs, to my knowledge, at least in Fallout 4, anyway. So that was new to me. I was a little confused, and then I figured out what was going on, because it was explained quite well, but it wasn't what I was expecting. But all in all, that change is fine, and this was a great episode. Let's go with you, Sean.
Yeah, I've loved every episode. For me, the highlight this episode was Matt Berry, and that's enough for me to say, because he was just fantastic in his role, like absolutely hilarious. I thought it caught up, it did a great use of different types of emotions and experiences in the episode, and I liked it being more focused with just Lucy, Norm, and the ghoul. So I think that was good as well. And yeah, just this has been just a great series for the first 4 episodes we've got to watch.
Now, Sean, who's Matt Berry?
He is a comedian, a British comedian who has been in shows like What We Do in the Shadows, the TV show,
right,
the series.
But I mean, in this episode.
He's the MK4. He's the Mark IV guy. He's the robot.
He's the robot voice.
He's the robot voice.
He's the guy that played the Mr. Handy.
Yeah.
Gotcha. His voice. Gotcha. Yeah. Yeah. And so maybe, I wonder if he played Codsworth in Fallout 4, because they referenced that somewhere in the show is what I heard somewhere. And I know Codsworth was English. But either way, we'll talk about that stuff at another time.
Because I remember the actor from IT Crowd.
Yep, he was in IT Crowd, and he's been in a bunch of stuff. Like he's just great in everything he does. At least he is, in my opinion.
All right, so that's our opinion on the episode and the first 4, episodes of the season. We're enjoying it tremendously compared to some of our other television series podcasts that we've done. We usually hit or miss in a lot of them. I would say about 40% hit, 60% misses, and this is one of the 40%. All right, so with that, I guess we can just talk about everything and anything related to the show.
So could I throw one thing out, Phil?
Yeah,
that was right ahead. So I'd hot talk with you offline about this last episode, because I didn't get to it in our episode last week. But there was just a point I was wanted to bring up about. There's the comment that we were talking about last episode about the bullying. and how the guy was talking about who was doing the bullying, that it wasn't personal. And it was just something that stuck with me, because dealing on being on the receiving end of bullying is myself in very unpleasant circumstances. It was personal. So it's easy enough for someone to say who's doing the bullying that it's not personal. They're just doing it to get by or whatever. But it's damn personal for the person who's receiving it.
Always.
Absolutely. Yeah. So that was just a point I wanted to bring up from what we were talking about last week.
And also in last episode, it wasn't like stupid kids. It was an adult.
Yeah.
You know, so there is no excuse for that. So I would concur.
I think a lot of the people in this world are emotionally stunted. So even though they're adults, I don't know that they're not stupid kids. I think most of the characters we're seeing, whether it's Maximus or Lucy or what's his name, Chet, I think is the name of the brother
the
down
friend.
In the vault.
Yeah.
I'm not the brother, the cousin down in the vault.
Yeah.
I think they're all like basically large children, with very simplistic views of the world.
Eccentric as well.
Yeah, eccentric as well. Which, by the way, does not take away anything from what you said. The bullies tend to have a habit, from what at least the way they're often portrayed in media, of just saying, "Well, you know, we were kids. Kids do stupid shit." But it isn't quite so easily dismissed by the people who are on the receiving end.
Well, and not everybody's the same on the receiving end. Like, some persons could get through it easily and others may not. Like,
and some people end up ending their lives because of it, right?
Yeah.
And that's the point where people, and again, I'm not trying to belabor it, but just the idea that, like, I can do the blame because it's not personal. Well, that's a way of you excusing you being a terrible person, is what it is, right? It's your justification that, like, oh, it's just a joke. Well, no, it's not a joke for the person who's on the receiving end, who's living, you know, dealing with whatever, you know, stuff you're putting them through every day, you know.
Well, and this showed the circle, you know. It showed how he got bullied, then he became part of the bully group, and he felt bad about it. But really, it doesn't matter if you feel bad about it after you do
he
it.
He still did it, right?
He still did it, yeah, so. Exactly. So
it's almost worse that it's not personal.
Right, yeah, exactly.
Because if it's not personal, why the fuck are you doing it? Just leave him the hell alone.
Right.
You're doing it to make yourself feel better or to take attention off of other things. And
to protect
a lot
yourself.
Of bullies, that is absolutely the case, where they're often dealing with other shit, which is what turns them into bullies. But, in this case, he was being bullied, and so he became a bully to deal with bully. It's not exactly the greatest solution in the world.
Yeah.
So I didn't mean to make a big thing about it, but it was just something that I thought, you know, because I didn't bring it up last week, that I thought it would be something just to touch on before we got into our episode today. So
good discussion point.
Yeah, for sure.
So I'll jump in with where I started ahead. Last week. Is that once again they start the episode off with a track from a Fallout 3, I think. Either that or Fallout New Vegas, which is Let's Go Sun. And is that something that they used in Fallout 4?
That is an excellent question. And I can find that out. I forget the actual song itself because I'm not watching the show at the moment. It's in the it says here, Journey to the Sun, Let's Go to the Sun, does appear in Fallout 4, most likely probably Diamond City Radio, which is or Minuteman Radio, one of the two that you hear in Fallout 4. Diamond City Radio is the radio from Fenway Park and in the city inside of Fenway Park, and Minuteman Radio is the city from, I mean, the radio from the Minutemen, which is the like a good group of Earth-dwelling humans that wear Minutemen and Patriot stuff from, you know, the 1770s or whatever, and they take over various places, including a fort in Boston. I forget the name of the fort. that's there, but they play on the radio there as well, and they play all songs and that whole the fiddle stuff that if there's any in this show will be coming from Minuteman Radio. But anyway, sorry, Micah, I diverge. Go on and continue.
It was just I like the fact that they are actually using the same tracks or some of the same tracks.
Well, they're actually using the theme song of the video game, at least Fallout 4, at various points late in this episode too, and I thought that was pretty awesome. It's like the ominous music that we actually open up the podcast with as people listen. So yeah, they're definitely sticking to the games, and they're not doing what Halo did from Paramount Plus, where they're changing everything. So where else do we want to go?
Well, I'll go back to my just stuff that I was saying with Matt Berry's voiceover for work for the Mark IV, whatever you want to call it, robot, where I thought he had some of the... Mr. Handy, then. The lines that he had and the delivery for the lines were so great. I just...
You're really... not here to be a sex slave. We just want to harvest your organs.
He's like Ryan when he's great. Talking about his chronometer being out and about the Great War, and that must have been last week or something. Just like he had so many great lines, and his delivery of his stuff is so, so on par. So I just thought, for me, again, that was the highlight of the episode, was just his interactions and just the ridiculousness in the circumstances, well, right?
In the video game, it's the same way, at least in Fallout 4, for all of them. And generally, they're programmed, so they're programmed a certain way. So, you know, this robot here, this Mr. Handy, is completely clueless that what he's doing is wrong. And so it's just kind of hilarious. So.
And like when he puts her out, or he's knocking her out with the anesthetic stuff, and he's like asking her questions. Oh, where are you from? And she's not answering. Oh, I'll have to go there someday.
I've never been, but I'll have to go there someday.
Yeah, they're just like, canned responses and canned questions that mean nothing. It's kind of funny.
And then when she commandeers him and is threatening with the drain code stuff or whatever it is, stuff that they were going to use. And when she's asking him to explain it, and he's like talking to her, I know, poison. It was so great.
Now, for what it's worth, basically, I believe Barry is hired to do the voice of all the Mr. Handys. So if more Mr. Handys to be had in the future.
Oh, I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah. I wonder if he's the one that does the ones in Fallout 4, because
I didn't see anything in his IMDb about it, but it's possible.
Right. Yeah. It's a good question.
I think it was the big thing was that they were saying it was the fact that he was doing this voice in this series was like a big thing. Because I think there have been maybe jokes or hints about it before, but for him to actually do it was like a big, like a nice Easter egg reveal or whatever. So anyways, it was just very fun. The whole interaction that he had with Lucy. So.
Right. Yeah. It says it's Sebastian Leslie that does Codsworth and Fallout 4. Stephen Russell. Does some as well, and Matt Berry does this TV series. So yeah, so they've used many people, it seems, and they all sound the same. So even Matt Berry is really good, but you got to give credit to the writers of the games, because they have just found another actor to basically sound just like the ones from the games, which is kind of funny.
But the fact that they make it, the writing is so good, is again something that I don't think I heard to me, or I was not saying in our last TV series that we reviewed, right? Like the writing, whether it's serious or comedic, is just phenomenal in this series.
Right.
And
And
again,
Matt Berry is legitimately funny. You mentioned him doing What We Do in the Shadows, which, like the movie that inspired the TV series, there's a lot of improvisation in that. I do wonder how many of the lines in this episode Matt Berry improvised versus how many, you know, were scripted.
To be honest, I wouldn't believe. I would think many of them weren't scripted because they're very similar to the many Mr. Handys and the type of lines you hear in at least Fallout 4. But maybe he is familiar with the games, and if he did improvise, it fits as if it came
it's
from
in
the same people.
It's in the spirit of it, right?
Yeah,
right.
Exactly.
He's not changing it up.
Yeah.
But it was just the delivery and everything was just so great, and it was just so fun because when I first watched the episode and I was like, and heard the voice the first time, I'm like, oh my God, is that Matt Berry? And then did my check and I'm like, oh, this is going to be great. And I was not wrong. And I was not let down by it.
Yeah, it was a great thing to see. First off, the Mr. Handy appearance, because he's iconic to the games. And it was also great that they had the Mr. Handy behave and act, whether they're bad or good. Mr. Handy's always act like this in the game. So it was spot on.
I thought the special effects for him, his design too, was good.
Yeah, well, that's what he looks like. That's what he looks like in the game, and actually, the suit, everything looks like the game except for some of the area where they had the trees and stuff. But all in all, whatever effects they're using, whether it's CGI or practical
or
it's fantastic. It just feels like
a blend.
I think
I don't know
so
why,
too.
But it feels like a blend.
Because I was going to say that in regards to how the ghouls' makeup is like, whether it's prosthetic.
Yeah,
CGI mix or whatever. It's like his mix. Stuff is great. Great.
It's like it's smoothed out with CGI, but it's basically practical. It's kind of nice.
Yeah, it's probably what it is. It's practical, and then they probably have like green screen, makeup on it on parts of his face, and then they can do the CGI
like the
part.
Skull look that he has. But it's just like it's like watching it in like the sequences that he's like having his wheezing. Moments in this episode, just so good.
Yeah,
like, again, the quality of all of this stuff is so good, and that's another thing to praise this series for.
Right, the tip of the nose is probably CG. It's just a little bit of a green screen nose, and then the bulk of the nose, the whole of the face, is probably rubber or latex mask. The robot being practical. I thought it was nice. I don't know about the eyes, which are kind of like meant to be like look like a video projection of a human eye.
Right.
But a lot of the robot stuff, if not all of it, really was done practically. There are other things like that, that I've noticed that, the suit, right? The suits are all practical. They're not like Iron Man CGI suits.
I just, again, it's a like huge credit to everyone involved in this series, be in front of the camera, behind the camera, because it's all quality stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep. And for someone that's a huge fan of the games, it's just fabulous to see it in a movie or television format without them screwing it up.
Yeah. Not thinking that they know more than the actual source material.
Yeah, right. Or just taking IP and then making it all up and say, oh, it's an alternate version of the game or something or whatever. Like Halo.
We'll get to see the vaults at the end of season 2, guys. I can't wait.
Yeah. Okay, no kidding. So let's talk about this from the beginning here. Basically, our lead. Oh, that's another thing too. Is that the ghouls in this that aren't gone insane? That's another big change from the games. Is that they eat the flesh of other ghouls and to survive, and that's not how it is in the game either. They are pretty much supposed to be just like humans, except they're ghouls. So they eat regular food. They don't need the medicine any more than anybody else, but that's another change.
I wonder if it's because he's been around so long that those...
The ghouls have been around forever. Even in the game, takes place the same time as this, so 230 years in the future. And the feral ghouls, and there's the ghouls that aren't feral, and
right.
They've all have existed since before the war, meaning they were all survivors from the nuclear fallout, and some of them, and they turned into ghouls, but some of them went feral and some did not.
Yeah.
Well, quote the great philosopher, Farmer Vincent, meat's meat, you got to eat. So he may be just needs to eat regular food as opposed to just eating, you know, ghoul flesh. But, you know, human meat can be food too, so.
Yeah, they do mention that. I swore it was this episode, maybe it was an earlier episode, where someone talks about that it wouldn't surprise us if some of the regular humans had eaten humans in the past, even if they aren't quote unquote cannibals.
Yeah.
Just to survive at some point.
Well, I mean, they've done it in North Korea, apparently. So.
Right, and in Chile and Argentina, in the Andes, soccer players or whatever the hell they were. And also in the United States during
the Donner Party.
Yeah,
the Donner Party.
Yeah. And then, of course, Papua New Guinea, at least that's what Joe Biden recently said, but about his uncle, but that's besides the point. On a serious note, though, basically this is the first time we've discovered that ghouls can turn feral, and the change from the games is they're turning feral because they were too poor or too good to not either buy or steal medicine or drugs that will prevent them from going feral. Again, in the game, they just go feral because of bad luck, like someone gets cancer or whatever. So we
but
see.
I think I might be wrong with because the medication, isn't that just the right away?
I don't know if that. Yeah, it could be. I didn't get to see the vials well enough to tell. So you may be right, Mike.
All right, because my thought is that the rat away, it was basically just keeping him from dying, and if he dies, that's when you turn. So I don't think it was necessarily anything particularly special.
I didn't. You could be right, but I didn't get that one point though that you die because they don't die
or get sick.
Yeah, you become sick because if you die, you die because these aren't zombies like World War Z where you die and then you become
right,
a zombie. Yeah,
right. But they're like the longer they're outside, right? The longer they're in the wilderness, the more likely are the longer they live, the more likely they are that they're going to turn.
Right.
If I remember correctly.
It's listed as mysterious serum, so they don't say what it is. So
it
isn't
rat away.
Yeah. It's mysterious, so but it's supposed to help them. So that's why.
Yeah, and that makes sense that they just call it mysterious serum, I guess. Let's see, what else? So he and Lucy, as a prisoner, meet this other bounty hunter guy who is a ghoul, and he's changing. And Cooper shoots him when he's not paying attention.
Because he said he's been changing. He saw, he first had signs of or showed signs of it, 28 years ago, I think he said.
Right. Yeah,
but he's degrading fast because he doesn't have any of the serum, right?
And he degraded really fast in this episode because he got eaten.
Yeah. Well, just like the whole fact of when Ghoul is talking with him and interacting with him, right, and like gives him the, oh, let's talk about, like, do you remember the apple pie and blah 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 blah, blah, and then boom, you're gone.
Yeah, the whole time he's planning on killing the guy.
Yeah.
Right, exactly.
Your meat.
Yeah, my thought, and it was just a thought, is the pie was sort of get him to think, not just to distract him, but get him to die with happy thoughts.
Yeah, that's what I thought it was.
Right, have him think back to the days when things were better, and that will be the last thing he thinks of when he dies is some good old apple pie. What I think is interesting is now the second week in a row that I spotted where they have a parallel here, because they also then bring up the pie with Neil down in the vault. Three beats, except I don't think it comes back. We get jello cake later, but I don't think we get pie again. But I think, again, there might be a parallel that they're trying to draw here. I don't, not to say necessarily that Neil's going to become a ghoul, but I wonder if he's going to follow a similar path.
Who is that? What character would follow the similar path?
Is it Neil? Norm.
Right. Oh, no, no. Oh, the little. Oh, the brother, you mean? No.
The brother.
Right. Yeah, you never know. Yeah. But pie is like a happy, warm dessert. Yeah, a lot of memories. Your mom gives it to you, you know, things like that. And it's hot and it's homemade, you know, versus like ice cream or something that not many people make homemade. So, I don't know. That's a good question. It could be a parallel, or it could just be the go-to for happy thoughts. I don't know. But that's an interesting observation, Mike, if could Norm become a ghoul. And to be honest, I don't think it's ever been addressed in the games, so therefore the universe, that if people turn into ghouls after the war, meaning now in the present, because all the ghouls in the games all became ghouls pretty much within, you know, the first year or so, if I'm not mistaken, after war.
There's a storyline in Fallout 3, right, where you go to your hypothetically, your home base town.
Yeah.
And one of the plot points is that there is a nuclear bomb unexploded in the town. And you have an opportunity to dismantle, disarm that nuclear bomb. But you, who I imagine, would, as in many of the Fallout games, have a choice as to whether or not to disarm the bomb. And if you opt to not disarm the bomb, eventually the bomb goes off, the town is destroyed, and it changes sort of the path of the rest of your game, including changing your home base to a tower much further away. But one of the characters, if I remember correctly, there's a character who is in the city who, after the bomb goes off, emerges as a ghoul.
Right, yeah, because that's another explosion. Yeah, makes sense. Yeah, if there's a nuclear explosion, right. If you're just a normal person, I don't think you would just become a ghoul.
Well, I wonder, because there's a comment that the ghoul has when he's talking to Lucy in the episode where he's talking about that she's going to just turn out like him. Like, it, just give it time. So yeah. I don't know if he's just referring to the fact that you'll turn out hurt, like, to act like me, or if it's
you're going to actually physically
turn into what, like a ghoul, because
I think he meant lose your humanity.
I'm not sure, because that was when he was trying to get her to be desperate enough to drink the bad water. He said it right when he got her to do that.
Yeah, but as long as you take Raid away, the bad water won't do anything to you.
Well, you're going off of the game. We don't know that that's necessarily how it's going to be in this, or how easy Radaway is to get.
Right. Yeah, I mean, it could be either. I personally believe he was talking about her humanity, that she's going to become a monster.
I think it was both.
I don't think so, because that would be a huge change from the source material if they...
Well, you just said they didn't really explain how ghouls become, did they?
Yeah, it happens right at, because of the nuclear explosion right after the war.
Right after, but we already know in this we have one that was just from 28 years ago, which was not...
No, that's when he started going insane, 28 years
ago.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. That's when he started showing it, yeah.
Yeah, the sign. Yeah, when he started using the signs. One thing that I think you were wrong with Fallout 3 was, it's not you decide to disarm the bomb; it's you decide to set off the bomb. I think is how what happens is that you find the bomb,
something like that.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
It's like I said, it's been over a decade. But
it's sort of a decade game.
Yeah, basically your action or inaction, the bomb either stays disarmed and that's your home base for the rest of the game, or the bomb goes off. And
yeah, because you set it off. Yeah. Yeah, because you can be, it's like an evil choice or something. Now, Sean, you were going to say something?
No, I was just going to say that in the fact that, like, maybe it's like Barrett was saying, is that it can be both. Right, we'll see what the explanation is.
Yeah.
Right, but I just thought it was interesting. Either way,
I honestly don't think she's going to turn into a ghoul.
I will say that he was, in my personal opinion, based off of the source material, he's talking about once you see how the world really is, you'll become a monster and think like me and be like me.
But I think that's a good sign of writing that it allows you to ponder.
I think you just. Reading into it wrongly. I don't think it's
okay.
I don't agree with you.
Yeah, no, I understand you don't agree with.
We can read into it however we want. It's not wrong.
No. I'm just talking.
You just disagree with it.
If you follow the source material, meaning the IP, you're wrong. But that doesn't mean it wasn't an interesting.
Only if she gets Radaway. If she doesn't get Radaway, she could turn into a ghoul.
You just die. If you get radiation poison and you don't use Radaway, you die. And at least in the game.
From what you've seen in the game.
Right.
The limited perspective of what you play in the game.
I've played all the games from the new generation upward, so that's how it is.
From what you've seen in the game. Because you're telling us we're wrong. We're not wrong.
You're looking at it through the perspective of someone that isn't a diehard gamer of the Fallout series. So if you've never played Fallout,
but I still don't think that it has to conform to that 100%.
It's okay. Just disregard my comment. We can move on. That's fine.
Okay. All right. So where do we want to go next? Kevin,
I didn't want to interrupt. I got a weird kick out of the. Actually, everything that were happening in the vaults, it was a really interesting segments. I mean, everything from the woman sharing a pie with I forgot the guy's name. You know, and it's just that scene. I wasn't sure. I mean, from what I remember, the scene was her essentially trying to encourage, was it Ben, to not cause trouble, you know, because I think she was trying to figure out what Ben was up to, the brother, because she knows that he's not conforming to their rules, and it's so, I mean, she kind of knows something's going to happen, and so I'm just wondering, was she trying to tell him don't do anything stupid, or was she trying to figure out what he's planning, or was she trying to ally herself with him, but I think it was more of trying to figure out what he was up to. And then you have the scene with the woman who starts going into labor. And I half expected that whole scene where the guy talks about her being wet. I half expected that just because of how far she was in the pregnancy. But then I just liked how Ben comes to him and says, do you want to go? Pretty much he says, you know, do you want to go explore? He's like, yes, please get me out of here. And then we find some really interesting, I mean, the start of an interesting investigation into Vault 32 and what happened, because he was saying this wasn't just something that happened within the last couple of weeks. This happened a few years ago. How did they get in? And that's when they figured out it was, you know, they're finding all these dead bodies, and it's just saying, you know, we know, don't trust the management and things like that. So you're kind of trying to figure out what happened, and they find out that the Marauders were let in by the mother.
Yeah, or at least the pip her boy passcode that the mother has. So whether it was the mother or someone stole her pip boy or something.
Right, and they make sure that Lucy gives us earlier in the episode a bit of monologue to the ghoul, explaining how they didn't always have it easy in the vault, and that there was a great plague of, I don't know, 44, whatever year it was.
Her
mother died.
Yeah, and that's when he said to her, I wouldn't be surprised if your people and your dad or whatever were cannibals or something like that. I think he said
right.
that. Yeah.
If they went hungry. He said maybe it didn't happen the way that he said it did.
Well, and the thing is that the ghoul recognized the name.
Yes.
Right, right.
And there was something else I was going to mention. Remember the name. There's something else. I don't know. It'll come to me.
Yeah, when it comes to you, you know, just throw it out.
Right.
Which is fine. But yeah, so that was kind of surprising because, you know, we learned from the beginning that there was three vaults that were teammates, I guess, or whatever you want to call it. And this shows that it was partially a lie in a sense, and people had to know that 32 for the past 2 years or whatever it was had been defunct or whatever, and yet it wasn't announced to the quote unquote regular people of the vault. Only the leaders of Vault 33 knew, right? Or so that's kind of suspicious. One thing is they could have just been protecting the people and they didn't want them to know that something horrible happened or whatever, but I don't know. It sounded
And then it started, though, when Ben was feeding the invaders, the marauders, and the one marauder was talking to him. He said, you don't know what – pretty much he said, you know, don't think of us as all guilty because you don't know what happened in Vault 32.
Right, right. Yeah, so it was, and you got to be curious, you know, how much does the older woman of the three quote unquote vault leaders knows, because she's been around for a while, obviously, and the father, her father, as well, and stuff. So, or any of the older vault dwellers, some of them have to. What you would have thought would have known that, but it wasn't public, right? And none of this was public. Am I right to understand that?
Well, but Ben tried to access the history of 32 and he was denied. So the only way he knew, the only way he could really find out what was going on in 32 is he had to go into Vault 32, into their computer, and try to access like his history logs and things like that.
Yeah, that's true. I liked how well and, well in the video game again. You know, going back to the source material. As Mike mentioned when we first started talking, it's like an alternate world, and it was the Jetsons or the 1950s space type stuff. So similar to, oddly, when you look at it, any film from the 70s like Alien, they still have the green screen computers and stuff like that, which wouldn't be the case in real life if this was an advanced society. But again, this is an alternate reality type thing. So the research that the brother has to do, you know, it's a lot of file and paperwork and green screen or amber screen computers and stuff, which is kind of quirky, and that's how the games are too. Now, Kevin, were you able to remember exactly what you were going to remember?
Yeah, I mentioned it.
So that's
what
it was.
The one where the marauders were saying it. The one marauder guy said, you know, you think we're bad, but you should have seen what was going on in 32.
Yeah, and that's what set it all off, right? That's what set him.
Right.
Yeah. Norm to go. I mean, he was already pissed.
Norm, not Ben, right.
Right, exactly, Norm. Yeah. All right, so where do we want to go now?
And one interesting thing with the ghoul, because, I mean, last week, we saw when he was an actor, he didn't want to just shoot an unarmed guy after he defeated him. And then after everything goes crazy in that store, he recognizes the movie, pops it in. He watches himself shoot the guy and said, you know, stupid commie or something like that. It was like he changed his tune.
Yeah, that is true.
But I think that struck a chord with him, too, as he watched it, right?
Right. He literally confronts himself, right? He's because he's seeing, and the scene that we watched him film in the last week that he protested doing, and it should kickstart a reminder for the audience, certainly, but also for him, that here's a guy who once didn't want to pretend to shoot somebody on principle, and now he's turned into the thing that he never wanted to even pretend to be. And I think that's the whole point of that ending, right? Is it's a bit of a wake-up call for him. And you couple that with his interaction with Lucy, who's trying to appeal to something better and saying she'll never become, you know, what he's become.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And there you go with the humanity thing. But also, you know what, Mike? His story to the ghoul that he kills also brings back the time when he had his humanity and he was a good guy versus the type of person that he is now, which is he'd take Lucy as a prisoner and tie her up and just do horrible things to her when he would never have done that prior to the war. And so for bringing up that apple pie or whatever and all that, and then before he killed the ghoul, it kind of was another quote-unquote three beat where he learns about his past or who he really is in the wake up call. So you could say that was the first part of the wake up call, while at the end, when she says, you know, do unto others as I would do unto you, or whatever she said, that was the final wake up call. So it'll be curious to see how he acts in future episodes after this one. I don't know how he'll change. Does anybody think he'll change that hasn't watched the rest of the season yet? Kevin, you haven't watched the rest of the season yet. Do you think the next episodes will be a little different?
Well, I don't know, because I remember seeing like names of it, and they show more of a background for the ghoul. So it might show you his, if you will, his descent into madness. Now, will he change through the rest of the show, through the rest of the season? I really don't know. I mean, he may, like, some of his old humanity may wake up in him. I don't know. But at the same time, though, I remember from the show where he was advertising for the vaults, and he sounded very patriotic. Like, yeah, you know, I'm a, you know, I really appreciate what you're doing for America and all that sort of thing. And that's when, you know, in the show, he, you know, shoots and says, "Die, commie." That's kind of the, you know, patriotic type of thing, you know, because communism was the enemy of the United States, and still many ways is. But the whole point is that it's like he compromised for the movie. It's like, all right, well, he's not just a bad guy. He's a commie. So it's okay to shoot him, even if you disarmed him.
Right. Yeah, that's part of the flashback. Now, I know, Sean, you've watched, binged the whole series, but Barrett and you, Mike, have you seen most of it, or are you pretty much where I am and Kevin are? And so would you know or have an opinion of what you think the ghoul is going to be in future episodes? Unless you guys have already binged it too.
I have not binged it, and I have no opinion.
Okay, what about you,
Mike? I'm in a weird place because we binged it, but when my wife was wanting to binge it, it was usually right after I got home from work, and I'll confess, I often fell asleep on the couch while watching it. So I know about half of what happens. And I didn't go back, and that's part of the reason
they're both. It's good you're rewatching them then.
Oh, yeah, that's absolutely part of the reason why I'm rewatching it. Because it's the kind of thing where, like, I'm sitting on the couch and I'm trying to watch it, and it's just, you know, you're blinking, and suddenly 30 minutes have gone by.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's stuff that comes up. You're going to find out, if you haven't found out already, I haven't figured out already, that it's not just an alternate future, it's an alternate past. I don't know. With the commie thing, obviously the 50s, you had the Cold War, so commie was a thing then. But it's a Western. There weren't commies in the Old West, realistically, right? Nobody was going, "Die, commie." We brought up that it's that he's married to a black woman in the 1950s. But if you notice, the director of the episode or the movie that he was watching was also a person of color. There's a lot of anachronisms going on there that implies that the past of Fallout, while set in the 1950s, was maybe a little bit different than our 1950s were.
Well, the technology is, for sure, right? And because, you know, we see the buildings in the background when the nuclear explosion happens there. They're like more fancy techno than ours. Plus, they have Mr. Handys.
Yeah, I was about to say, since when did they have a Mr. Handy-type robot in the 1950s?
The Jetsons.
You didn't have it. Didn't mean the Rockefellers did.
You may be right, Mike. You may be right. So obviously there's a lot of changes from the 1950s of our world versus the 1950s of the Fallout world, that's for sure.
Yeah, it's almost like a steampunk version. Like, I don't know how to explain this, but it's just like they have the old technology, but they can do more things with it than you would expect.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Though it's not steampunk like the Victorians, it's the same principle.
Yeah.
Like you said. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. They have limited technology, you would think, but it's way more advanced than even modern technology of today in our world.
Right.
Yeah.
Even though they are stopped in their tracks with the nuclear war.
Right.
They've already got a lot of this technology before it even happens. So.
Right. Yeah, it's interesting.
That's why I think your Jetsons example is perfect, because it is like that. It's just not in the future. It's in the past. They're
Right.
just more advanced in the past than we were.
Right. Yeah, you know what it's like? It's like Jules Verne or H.G. Wells, that they thought the future was going to be, but it never turned out that way because they couldn't think of things like iPads and cell phones and all these other things. Yeah.
But you know, it's funny when you start looking at things, a lot of stuff is thought of long before you think it is. Just like, you know, I was looking at something, I can't remember what it was, but there's books about AI going back really far. So it's kind of interesting where we think things are and where they actually are. So
right, like Jules Verne in 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea, there's one scene where the Nautilus, he shows what the Nautilus is being powered by, and the way Verne described it, it sounded a lot like nuclear power. And nuclear power had not been discovered yet, because we're still in the 1800s.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Well, it's like my example of the movie Alien, which just reappeared on theaters for its, what, 45th or 50th anniversary, or whatever that was, and 45th. And what happened in that movie is the computers in that movie are all green screen computers. And that would not be the case, right? I mean, if that movie was made today, all the
right,
computers
the old
would have
clicky
GUI.
Keyboards with the large keys.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, yeah, and the TVs wouldn't be, you know, those type
CRT
of TVs.
Monitors.
CRTs, yeah.
Yeah, they won't be boxes. Yeah, exactly.
Well, it's a lot like Star Trek with the dials.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh,
well even Cyberpunk, they have all the, you know, the 3D videos that just appear on TV. I mean, you know, up on, you know, they didn't, in other words, even back when Cyberpunk was created, they didn't know that you could make giant TVs like they do now. So they instead have projections instead of giant TVs doing their advertisements.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, it's just kind of interesting changes that they didn't know. But yeah. All right. So yeah, I was thinking they were going to go the sex slave route was, and sure enough, she thought that too. And they were tricking us to do that, which was hilarious when you find out, like, oh, no, we're here to harvest your organs. And it's like, that was hilarious. I couldn't believe it.
Yeah,
I wasn't
it was,
expecting that. Because she,
yeah, I wasn't either, and that's what really made it funny.
Yeah, exactly. Because honestly, the actress is absolutely ridiculously good looking. You know, she has, like, the Amanda Seyfried eyes, and she's just a really good-looking woman. And so you would just think, just like they wrote in the episode, that, oh, you're here to be a sex slave. And of course, nope, we're here for your organs. You have healthy organs that we can sell in the black market or whatever. And so, yeah, that was a great out of nowhere, you know. So I thought that was pretty funny. And I think it was intentionally to be that way, to be funny. It was interesting to find out that it was two potheads that ran the whole organization. That was kind of funny.
Yeah, that was very funny.
Yeah. And they were so stoned, they couldn't explain to her why you don't want to release the ghouls. Because if they weren't stoned, they would have said, okay. They wouldn't have just pressed said, all right, I guess we will press the button because we don't want you to shoot us. Because they know what would have happened. But they were so stoned, they just said, okay, instead of saying, no. The reason you don't want to let those folks go is because they're feral and they will kill us all, and they cannot be saved.
You know what a ghoul is, right? That's the first thing they should have said.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And she had just seen what was happening to the guy earlier in the episode, so she knew what was going on.
She knows exactly what a ghoul is because she just dealt with one.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so that was pretty funny. And I have to agree with you, Mike, that yeah, those dope heads were characters that play a small role, but were very memorable in a good way, not because they were stupid, but because they were well done, made and well acted and well written and so forth.
Yeah, they were just stoned. They were still doing dirty deeds, yeah. And not in an unsmart way. They were utilizing that robot in an evil way.
That's right.
They were like the banality of evil, you know?
Right, right. Yes, yes. If the definition of banality of evil, that was it. Yeah. Yeah. Let's see. Yeah, right, right. Especially because it's her, too. It wasn't like just some random guy that they captured, you know, Raider. It's this really pretty good looking woman.
Yeah,
that
they didn't even care. Yeah. Like, well, they're too busy getting stoned to worry about an attractive woman.
Right, right, exactly. It's kind of hilarious. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So
I wonder how they ended up in that relationship, like with the robot.
I know. I was curious too.
Right. Yeah. Well. Yeah, I don't know. That's a good question. Because
we don't get any background, you know. We just know that they're there and they control the robot somehow.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah, and the robot was programmed to agree to do what they said to do.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But, yeah, the episode is kind of interesting because it's only, what, three storylines? And that's it. It's the ghoul storyline where we find out how they go feral, then her being captured and that whole thing, and then Norm's story. And that's it. Am I missing anything? A couple of flashback scenes maybe for Cooper, and that's about it.
Yeah, and the Norm story, I like that it ended with him giving the yellow jello to those guys.
Yeah.
I was wondering if that was
poisoned.
Poisoned, yeah.
Yeah, that was my thought, but we didn't get a resolution to it. So I was like, huh, that's interesting. Because we had talked about them getting poisoned before because he's in charge of the food. So in the last episode. So now I'm very curious if that's what we're going to return to in the next episode, seeing that they're all dead.
Right. And the thing is, too. Was it a red herring and he's not the killer of the ring?
Right. Yeah, exactly. We're going to think he is and he's not. Yeah. There's a lot of possibilities here where we could go because we just don't know.
Right. Right. Exactly.
Because he may not be the only person that wants to kill them. I mean, it seems like it from that meeting, but that doesn't really tell us. We know that the blonde girl would like them dead.
Right. Right. Right.
So,
yeah, but she was busy giving birth.
Oh, yeah.
Right. What about the three leaders? Are they actually incompetent, or
are the two guys definitely are?
Yeah, the two guys are definitely incompetent. Yeah, they don't know what the hell they're doing.
Right, right. So, yeah. So the question is the woman, is she incompetent and nefarious, or is she just a I don't know.
I think she has the best interest at heart of the vault, but I don't know that. She necessarily has the ideas that are going to keep them safe.
Right, right. Yeah, that's a good, really good way to put it. Yep. Yeah. Now, what about the relationship between the cousin and the one-eyed girl? That is becoming interesting.
Well, it was definitely bad timing, I'll say that much.
Yes, it was.
A wet girl.
Yeah. I mean, she's a good-looking woman, so I can see why he would want to be with her, but
personality-wise,
she's a woman, and there's not a lot down there.
Well, there's that. I have a feeling she didn't have... Things were a little weird with her husband.
Yeah. Who must have been very small.
It was tiny.
But he liked his shoes.
Loved his shoes, but they were really tiny shoes.
Well, they showed a picture of them. It looked like a picture of them, and it looked like the picture was of. It almost looked like Norm.
Well, yeah, it was.
It wasn't, but yeah, I know what you're saying.
No, I know what you're saying, but it looked like him.
But didn't they show him at all in the first episode? Even
yeah, he was in the episode. Yeah.
Yeah. So. But either way, she had her life turned upside down with his death, whether or not she really.
And so she's liked in a traumatic response to the situation, right?
Yeah.
People make weird, well, not weird, but decisions you might not make if you weren't dealing with severe trauma, right? So,
right.
It's just they do it in a way that is delivered comically. In regards to just their interactions. But I mean, it does speak to the sense that, you know, these people are not dealing with just everyday normal stuff. Right.
Right. Well, for their life, it could be normal. I mean, they only normal.
But not to get all those people killed, right?
Well, right. That was the part that's not normal. The life that they were living, whether it's bizarre to us,
right,
is normal to them because that's
all they know.
And they seem generally satisfied and okay. But when you lose half your people, including someone that you're married to, then that kind of can cause some issues.
I mean, just going back to the stuff with Norm and his investigation, and when you're finding all these different facts,
right,
that, like, there's something very nefarious behind, which I'm sure that will end up coming about one way or the other, but just the fact that these people had been dead for 2 years, that wasn't an immediate raid like it had been purported to the vault, right? So it makes you wonder what was really going on and question,
Let me ask you this, Sean. Did Norm and the rest think Vault 32 was fine before this?
I think they did.
Yeah. So I think.
Yeah. I mean, they wouldn't have called over the people. They wouldn't have called the people over for a wedding, especially the leader. You know, wouldn't have called over what he believed to be a raider, for his daughter.
Right.
I mean, he wouldn't have done that.
And then to find out that the mother's Pip-Boy was used for the attack makes you wonder what's going on.
Right.
And just like, you know, just I think they do such a great job of getting different genres within the episode. Because, I mean, you're having partisan investigation. You have the horror aspects that they do really well. Comedic aspects, like the way they weave everything together is just done very well.
Yeah, that's for sure.
But I like the fact that they give you these they're giving you stuff that if you're paying attention, right, it does reward you.
Right,
and it's not dumbing things down that can happen in some shows, right, where they're, for whatever reason, playing to a lower common denominator or whatever you want to say. But, like, the writing is well done. The storytelling, as it's shared to us, is so well done, right? And it just, the way that they reveal these different aspects, at least for what we know in this episode, I thought was done really good.
Yes.
Yeah, I think they're building the world. The world is certainly one familiar to gamers, but this has to be something that new people can jump in on, and they're doing. And it's really what the game does, right? The game does the same thing: starts you out in a vault, and then slowly introduces you to the world. And so this is being very successful in replicating that experience. And if it works for gamers, then it should work just as well for an audience, albeit on a shorter timeline, because, if we're we're 4 hours into the game, into the show, and 4 hours into the game, you would probably still be in the vault. And again, I'll go back to what I've been saying. They are moving the plot along. They're moving the character stories along. You know, we've had all the major characters cross over at some point or another. And they've all changed their status quo. They're all chasing the same football, right? Being the head. And admittedly, that's taken a back seat to this week's episode. But
none of it feels like filler.
No, nothing here feels like filler. Everything feels like it's in service to either the story or the character. No one's taking a side story episode. Although I guess maybe you could make an argument that's what's going on here, but I don't think so. I think this is a very important learning lesson for Lucy, is for most of this episode.
Oh, yeah.
And you're really moving the plot forward in the vault. Right, because this is not, again, other series, the way modern shows go, you would not have gotten into Vault 32 until, like, episode 8, and it would have ended with them walking into Vault 32.
Actually, I mean, what's going on with Vault 32, personally, is the thing that I'm mostly interested in.
Right.
Yeah, that's interesting. Honestly, I think pretty much all the storylines have been pretty solid, especially with last week's storyline of Maximus, because I was worried about that storyline. So, but yeah, I think the bigger picture of what's going on with the vaults is going to come together through Noam's story. While the other stories are chasing the head and trying to find the father and all that other stuff. But whatever, if you played the games, as you know, Mike, Vault Tech is not necessarily a good company. Some of the vaults are good, but a lot of the vaults
they're guinea pigs.
Yeah, people were used as guinea pigs. Yeah, exactly. So, Vault
Tech, which is interesting why they had that video, right, that they watch the chat sees, talking about the mice eating each other or the rats eating each other.
Oh, right, yeah. Yeah, and that's the thing. It's Vault Tech is kind of like that. That's, yeah. Yeah, that's like a... it could be a... I mean, in the video games, it's most certainly. In this show... That could be, you know, it's not a checkoff, but an illusion of what he may find, I guess.
Right. Some of the vaults are like Lucy's vault. They're like Vault 33. Other vaults, they just like, they might have like, I don't know, Vault 67 may have lots of food and no water, or Vault 68 has lots of water and no food. You know, it's
intentionally by Vault Tech.
Intentionally, yeah. Just to see what happens. Yeah. Like, how do they handle it? And it's, you know, here's one where we're gonna have everyone genetically spliced with plants, you know, just to see what happens. You know, there's all sorts of weird stuff that goes on, and none of it is ethical.
And so then it reads to what they, you know, with the writing on the wall, that we know the truth, right?
Oh, yeah,
what does
right.
that actual truth mean?
Mm-hmm. Right, right.
Well, that this is a company that sees, that saw, I don't know if they saw the nuclear war as inevitable, but they certainly saw it as an opportunity.
Right, right. And also, I'm curious if they were beginning to do this prior to the war as well. In other words, were they already having guinea pigs in the vaults before the war even started? Because one question is, what's the point of doing all these experiments after the war when the world's over anyway? So, you know, maybe we'll get an answer to that as well. But either way, also, will we get an answer why Vol-Tec is bad. And honestly, I don't even know in the games if we ever really learn why or when they started doing the experiments. Because once the war happens, what's the point of doing the experiments? And if you do it before the war, couldn't you get caught? Yeah.
Well, then so. It's how it, like, understood the idea of, like, are you just saying, you know, like, they, you know how they did the testing in the 60s with the CIA of, like, lacing people's stuff with LSD and not telling them?
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Right?
Yep.
So.
Yep.
And just saying, hey, this is just worth. Enough,
you can pay off a lot of people.
Yeah. Or you can give them the idea that there's you're just doing this, like, this thing for money and then just never follow through with it, right? But you're having them in the experiment, and if, say, the war happens, because it happens when it happens kind of thing, right? And then those things are already gone, and there's no one there to stop it.
Right, right. Yeah, and who knows what motivations
there
are. I mean, even after the fact, like, the war's happened, there is no one to report to on the surface anymore. So why are you even still doing it?
So what is, what's going on, right?
What is even a point? Unless, and, you know, another option and possibility is that the robots, you know, they say here, maybe, and most certainly in the games, that it's the people, that the robots never really take over, even though there's robots. But what happens if these vaults are controlled by Mr. Handy's, for example?
Well, in the fact, this isn't like a month or a year after the war. This is 200 and whatever, 19 years or whatever it is after the war. So, I mean, this, if there's something else going on or whatever, right, it's the feeling. So.
Right, right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and after there's a certain amount of time, this is 200 years, whether there's a Vol-Tec or some form of Vol-Tec that's replaced it, at that point, it's like, well, this is the new reality, and people are still assholes or flawed, and robots are created by people, so even if it's the robots were doing it, the point is eventually people could still go back to being tribal assholes or whatever assholes, or, you know, on and on, so.
Was it 200 years? I thought it had only been a week.
Yeah, it depends on your chronometer.
Let's see. So, anything else that we wanted to bring up through the episode? I'm trying to think of stuff or look through my notes, but I may be missing something. Anybody else have anything that they had on their notes?
Yeah, we neglected to bring up the fingers.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
The what?
The fingers. Chop it one bit off and chop off.
It's a significant portion of the story is we cut off the trigger fingers of two of our lead characters in episode 4.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But she gets
one
back.
Much better now.
Yeah, she gets one back. They attach a frickin' finger out of a drawer.
Right, which I still don't know why, because they just want to harvest her organs anyway.
I know, I said the same thing while we were watching. I was like, why are they going to repair her finger when they're just going to kill her?
Oh, unless they're going to use her hand for someone else to sell.
Well, and the robot's clueless. The robot's making small talk.
Yeah.
Before harvesting.
Hey, here you go. Here's a new finger. Oh, I'm going to take your kidney.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I mean, it's going to kill you anyway, but I'll heal you.
There is no fudge here.
But again, they could chop the whole hand off and use that as a quote unquote organ as well. So who knows? Or it's like you said, Mike, they're just programmed to be dense, you know. But
or not even programmed intentionally, but just like end up with design flaws that end up leading that way.
Or after a certain amount of time,
the program degrades.
They degrade and they just go downhill from there, and then.
Yeah. Or it's part of the same thing where, you know, I wouldn't mind visiting there or some place, you know, even though he's not even listening.
Well, then the other thing is, could that also be another part of the experiments?
Yeah, right.
Could be.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, that was, She bites his finger off, and for vengeance, he chops her finger off.
And that's like where his comment about this is the most equal exchange that they've had to this point.
Yeah, yeah.
He's definitely an interesting character.
Yeah, yeah. And this is part of the midnight movie grindhouse type aspect of the show where, you know, if you had, I don't know about the ghoul biology, but for the human biology, Lucy would be in massive pain and probably could even have blood loss if they didn't do things correctly or even infections. But again, this is, you know, midnight movie type of stuff, so. It's kind of funny.
Like movie, it's video game logic, right? Where
yeah.
You know, you're running around getting shot at and you're on the verge of dying.
Yeah.
And then you eat a green plant and suddenly you're perfectly fine.
Yeah, that was a dog meat, which is the German Shepherd in this, when the ghoul gives dog meat the stim pack and he's immediately healthy again. Yeah, and they use the term dog meat, that he calls him dog meat, I think, in this episode, I can't, or whenever, the last time we saw him, he called him dog meat or something. But either way, that's a wink to those of Fallout 4, because the dog is a German Shepherd and named dog meat in Fallout 4. And he's your first companion.
I like that she's still trying to understand the ghoul. Just trying to morally understand him, which there's just no possibility she's ever going to understand him.
Yeah, yeah, that's a really good point, because she can't understand how he's become like a cluster V personality, when I don't think he really is. I think what it is he's just living the way you survive up there.
Yes, I agree.
But
with heavy trauma.
Yeah.
Right. Well, most certainly, because he knows she's not a threat at all. And yet he's treating her like a dirt anyway. You know?
Yeah, part of it's he just doesn't care about anything, I think, anymore.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Yeah, I think it's him being hardened rather than him being truly evil or cluster B. It's more like you said, Barrett, where he's just like, there is no humanity up here. People are just assholes. And
she was a commodity, right? He was going to get something, some kind of pay out of this whole thing.
Yeah.
He didn't get the head. So he was going to give her away because she just became the next best thing.
Yeah. But he doesn't seem wrong about the aspect of the number or percentile of people who are not good.
Yeah,
above
no.
ground, right?
No.
From what we've been shown.
Well, there's another thing we didn't talk about. So they go to the other vault, right, in this one? Am I
yes.
remembering that correctly? They go to the other vault because of the one prisoner tells them they weren't doing this stuff.
Yeah.
And they obviously have been dead for a really long time in that other vault, because there's like totally desiccated bodies.
Well, it's over 2 years. That's
yeah.
because that's what they said from when they checked the Pip-Boy info, right? So yeah, so there it, again, it comes back to, like, the Raiders aren't good, but it doesn't then make the people in the vault or whatever's going on in the other vaults good either.
Right. Just because they're in a vault doesn't mean they're better.
Right, and right.
Each vault is its own little governmental unit, right? I mean, they have their own thing going on.
I mean, they can be good, and they can
or bad,
right? But they're still different personalities, and a lot of those personalities are going to be selfish and whatever.
It's kind of curious though, because that other vault was so close to them, like basically right next door, right? And and so they didn't know about this vault basically being dead for 2 years.
Right, except for the leadership, maybe. Like her dad and the black
he
woman.
Could, he
and,
couldn't
and
have known. He,
else.
Would, he wouldn't have put his daughter up to be married to someone from there if he knew that vault was compromised, would he? And dead.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, that's a fair point.
So they don't even keep in touch, right?
Yeah, that's really weird when you think
it's like all of a sudden, hey, we got somebody that needs to be married and you need to send someone our way and they don't have any checks or balances to.
So what were all those computers and stuff for?
Right, exactly.
Room? It makes you wonder what's like, there's something else. Again, it's something else. Like what is that's just building the mystery further, right?
Yep.
Yeah, right. Let's see. Anything else anybody wanted to bring up?
Just that is what I like about this show is it brings up just about as many questions as it answers, but I'm not like suffering because I don't know the answer yet. I feel like they'll eventually address it.
Right. Yeah. The only way that it would suck is if they have the 8 episodes and they don't answer these questions. And it's like, are you kidding me? We have to wait another 2 years for season 2 and to get the answers.
Yeah.
So as long as they don't do that. Yeah.
It doesn't feel like they're going to, they play that style, at least in the first 4 episodes. Right.
Right.
They're feeding you enough to keep going.
Right.
Right. Without drowning you or,
like,
you know,
Lost did.
Belittling you, right, in regards to the experience. It's a genuinely well-paced story for each of the different storylines that we're chasing.
Right. It's not going to be 2 years, actually 2 years or post 2 years, if there is even a third year, of Halo getting to Halo.
Right. Hey, the show just started after 2 years.
Yeah, that was
and
terrible.
You get to spend 11 minutes on Halo. Enjoy out of that 1,000-some minutes.
Was it really 11 minutes? I thought it was less, but yeah.
It was just like just under 11 minutes of like 1,000 whatever it was minutes total, which is just ridiculous.
Yeah, that's terrible.
Because I'm not talking about like visions. I'm talking about actual time on the Halo.
Right. Yeah, that's terrible. That's awful because the game is series is so good and they screwed it up completely.
Well, it would be like if they made a Jurassic Park TV series that took 2 seasons getting to the island.
Yeah, before we see a dinosaur at the very end of the last episode.
Right, and then the series is canceled.
Yeah, like
and they wonder why it was canceled.
You don't even
understand why it's doing so shitty. Yeah,
shadow of a dinosaur.
Yeah, and then they changed the whole story too, and they say the dinosaurs came from outer space or something.
Yeah,
it's like yeah, but that's not what happened. And Michael Crichton didn't say that. It's our way.
Well, again,
we know more than Michael Crichton.
We know the guy more than the source person, so that's all. That's all that matters.
Plus, they're dead, so they don't matter.
Yes.
That's terrible. Yeah. Jeez. Let's see. Anything else anybody wanted to bring up about this episode? Anyone? Kevin? Anyone? Mike? Anyone?
No, I'm pretty good.
Yeah, I brought up the one issue I was meant to bring up, so.
All right. Fair enough. All right, so.
I wanted to talk about.
All right, I guess we can start wrapping it up. So, so next week is The Past, is what it's called. So maybe we'll learn about either The Past, which could mean either. The history of the vault that Norm and Lucy's from, or it could mean more of the ghouls story before the war.
Or just before the war without the ghoul even.
Oh, yeah.
Learn. Go ahead, sorry.
With Cooper, you're right. It could be just something else. Yeah, that's actually a good point. It doesn't even have to be Cooper's perspective.
I would actually love that if it was an episode just showing like what led up to the nuclear war and stuff. That'd be neat.
Oh, that would be kind of cool, actually. Yeah. Yeah. As long as it's not like The Last of Us, which has episodes that had nothing to do with the.
Right. Like What I would want is like somehow how it connects to the ghoul or something, or something,
or the vaults.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, exactly. Like we see how they're set up or something.
Yeah, yeah, that would be awesome. Yep. All right. So either way, we can get into our final thoughts on the episode. But before we do, a few more house cleaning things. Mike, what's that podcast that me, you, Barrett, and Eric do weekly? The first and the original.
It is the flagship podcast on the Dark Discussions News Network, creatively titled Dark Discussions. The Dark Discussions podcast is your source for horror film fiction and all that is fantastic. It is a weekly series that has been going now since 2011. We are at roughly 650 episodes. And we seem to have no signs of stopping. So God help us. So you can find us wherever you podcast are sold.
All right, sounds good. And Barrett, what's that podcast that me and you do? We usually have a group of other co-hosts, and we're going to be doing an Emily Blunt episode probably within the next 10 days or so.
Yeah, Halloween Boutique Psychotronic Reviews. We're going to, hopefully once you see it, we're going to do an episode on The Fall Guy.
Yep, that's right. Basically, another movie podcast that does films that aren't necessarily going to fall in the Dark Discussions mode, but are still interesting and genre related and things of that nature. So yes. And Kevin, what's that other television podcast that me, you, Barrett, and Sean did about a Netflix television series that we just wrapped up?
Well, I wouldn't say just wrapped up, but we are covering the live action show One Piece. The podcast is called Boa Hancock and the One Piece. And Boa Hancock has not made an appearance yet, but maybe she will. Maybe she won't anytime soon. We don't know. But it is about it's a live action version of the anime One Piece and very enjoyable.
Yep, indeed, indeed. All right, so that's pretty much. We have a bunch of other podcasts too, but that's just a snapshot. So let's get into our final thoughts on this episode here, episode 4 called "The Ghouls." So let's start with you, Sean Fox.
Just as I said, another great episode in the series so far. Again, my highlight was the stuff with Matt Berry as Mr. Handy, and just again, great story, great breakup of the storylines, great writing, great characters cast, everything is done with such quality, and it is a pleasure and joy to watch each episode.
All right, sounds good. Yeah, for me, it was a great episode. It actually was so good that you don't even notice that Maximus and the Brotherhood of Steel don't have anything to do with this episode. It was also great to see Mr. Handy appear as well. And it gives us some more interesting aspects of the vault that Lucy comes from and their brother or sister vaults, and something fishy is going on there. So the story is actually turn into a four-way storyline with Norm's story as the fourth, and which Kevin mentioned may be one of the most interesting parts of the series. So a big thumbs up for this episode. Let's go with you, Kevin.
I still think this is my favorite, episode so far, and I'm still very happy with the season as a whole. When I say this is my favorite, it doesn't mean that the others aren't that good. That means that this is even better than the other ones. So I'm still, it's kind of hard for me not to watch the other ones and binge them, because I don't want to do what I did in One Piece and watch them all and then kind of get confused of what happened in what episode.
All right, sounds good. And Barrett?
Yeah, I love this episode. I thought it was great. I'm looking forward to more of the same. I don't think I'm going to be disappointed because we've had four episodes and they've all been really good. So, you know, even if there's a clunker in there somewhere, I think I'll still be satisfied with this show.
Indeed. And Mike?
It's another really solid episode. Matt Berry is the treasure, as is Bolton Goggins. It's just, there's not anything for me to not enjoy, whether it's the humor, whether it's the characters and the actors, the design and the effects, the music. I enjoy it on really every level. And, I'm so sorry that we're going to have to wait probably 7 or 8 years to get a second season. But it's probably going to come because it's apparently doing quite well.
All right. Sounds good. All right. So once again, that was The Ghouls, directed by Daniel Gray Longino and written by Karen Fitzgerald. Next week's episode that we're going to talk about, episode 5, is called The Past, directed by Claire Kilner and written by Carson Mell. We will be recording that episode on May 14th, and it will be released on May 16th. And you can find it both on the Dark Discussions podcast feed, the website, darkdiscussions.com, or the Nuka Girl Says Drink Nuka Cola podcast feed, again, wherever podcasts are found.
Phil?
Yes, John.
I just wanted to apologize to anybody for any of my coughs that got through when I was trying to hit my mute button. So sorry about that.
Happens. Okay.
Yeah. I didn't actually hear any, so it's all good.
I didn't notice anything.
Yeah. So, all right. So, Barrett, why don't you lead us on?
Thanks again for joining us on this episode of Nuka Girl Says Drink Nuka Cola. We will be back next week with an episode called The Past, or Past.
I know that I've lived a relatively comfortable life.
Stop! Mercy!
Vault dwellers are an endangered species. I do not think you would be willing to do what it takes to survive up here. If you insist on staying, then you will have to adapt.
Uh-huh.
So they say will be a lovely day. A bright new sun will suddenly break through. But I don't want to see tomorrow unless I see it with you.
I grabbed a moldy one.
Tomorrow.